Welcome back to today's episode of the Hunting Public Podcast. We have got some awesome weather conditions and stuff going right now. You and Sean just got back in from the woods this morning.
Yep.
And we got a lot to talk about on today's show. Please jump on with us on Facebook and Instagram and tune into these things live so we can get your feedback and answer any current questions that you've got on conditions or spots that you're wanting to go. But with that said, let's get into today's episode. All right, we are live on Facebook and live on Instagram. Zach and Sean just got in from their morning hunt, and we're going to try to cover quite a bit today. We got maps pulled up behind us, and we've been looking at weather already, trying to decide where we're going to go tonight. But the last 24 hours have been pretty eventful, haven't they?
Yeah. Last night, there were a lot of deer up on their feet. We had pretty rainy conditions, so we didn't get out and film much. I guess Sean and Jake went out last night in a good spot, didn't see any deer, but there were definitely deer up moving around. Colton and I were driving around, and we saw big mature bucks up as early as 5 o'clock. So.
I see. Were they just out feeding in fields and stuff?
No, or? Actually didn't see, saw a lot of does in fields, but didn't see any mature bucks in fields. They were all just like tucked back, you know, in the little grassy areas or whatever.
Just off to the side.
Yeah. We actually saw one just inside of the wood lot, and then another one was on a power, or another two were on power line right off the road.
Right. Yeah. And Jason Vickerman and I were talking this morning. He was driving to work today, and he texted me. He said, "You better be in a tree." He's like, "There's bucks moving everywhere."
Mm-hmm. And there were bucks moving this morning.
Yeah, for sure. I think a lot of folks saw mature bucks up moving last night, and the same this morning. I mean, you guys almost killed one this morning.
Yep.
And you might talk a little bit about how that hunt went down and kind of what happened with that situation.
We went into a spot this morning. It's really deep on the river unit that we hunt. And it's an area, I scouted it. Well, you actually killed a buck there in 2014.
Yep.
With Zach Krzyzewski. And you hunted back there in the past. We turkey hunt there. We've been in that area a lot. Scouted it a lot this winter. And then we went back in there in June and scouted again closer to the river. We went in today with plans of hunting beds close to a river. And basically what I mean by that is beds that are just in thick vegetation right up against the river looking into that open area.
Yeah, right here's a typical example of an oxbow in a river. Right here you can see this river that's going around like this. And on the point of these oxbows, where the river kind of bends and meanders through there, there's lots of beds. And Zach and Sean were hunting right down in on the river on some of these meandering oxbows, like right in here even somewhere.
Yep. So
we found a bunch of beds in there, what was that, two or three months ago?
I think it was mid-June.
Right, but they weren't in there.
Yeah. Well, actually, let me take that back. We hunted throughout the morning, didn't see anything, ended up getting down because we weren't seeing a lot of sign from the tree stand. And that was kind of discouraging, and it was about 8:45. I was telling Sean, I was like, "Man, I'm getting impatient. Let's go look for some sign."
Yeah.
So we got down, went to that bed that we were hunting, and a deer jumped out of it. Don't know what it was. Based off the tracks, it looked like it could have been a buck, but I doubt it was a mature buck. Tracks weren't giant.
Yeah.
So there was a deer using it, but there wasn't a lot of buck sign right in that area. But as we started moving towards pin oaks and red oaks that were on the elevation rise, so right down in the river bottoms, a lot of maple trees.
Yeah,
and we're
down through here.
Yep.
This is all flat, pretty flat.
All flat right here, and as you can see,
rises up here towards these fields and stuff up on top. Like that's where it starts to change. Right in there is where
there's a really specific transition line. You can almost even see it. I don't know if you can see it from here, but there's a line where you can tell where the maples meet up with the oaks. And Sean and I were just creeping up through there because I did find buck beds actually in this field back in January.
Right.
They had rubs in them. So we were just going up there to see if there was more buck sign in that area. Started working our way right. I mean, we were probably only 25 yards from the actual transition line of CRP and oaks. Heard bucks fighting. So we just jet up there, got as close as we dared, and probably about 50 yards away from where these bucks were fighting. Kind of tucked up under a tree, grunted, and one of them came right to 20 yards, stood there and looked. If he would have went just a little bit further, I would have been able to get a really good clean shot on him. I just didn't see his vitals well enough. And
right.
And
it's cool footage, though. It'll be on the blog at some point here, but we're also discussing where we're going to go hunting tonight. Mm-hmm. But before we move on to that, I want to touch on a specific point to that hunt, and that's you guys went in there mid-morning, mm-hmm. like several hours after.
It was 9:30 when it happened.
After daylight, and once you got into the bedding area, like, there was bucks in there fighting.
Still moving around.
Yeah, so, and that's what they do.
Yep.
You know, this time of year specifically, it's either you're hot or you're not, like we were talking about the other night, Sean. You're either in their bedroom with them, and they're mm-hmm. moving around in there pretty freely during daylight, or you're, you know, not even in the game, and they're not exiting that little home right there until dark.
We weren't in the game. I mean, where we set up, we walked all the way out on that transition line. All the deer sign was definitely up in the oaks.
Yep.
Nothing down in that river. Now, I think there are different years. There's going to be more bedding down along that river. And it's even been dry this year. And in the summer, we found tons of beds down along that river. But right now, they're so focused on that acorn food crop that, like,
yeah,
that's
but
what
I'm
on.
Also thinking, too, when those maple leaves drop here in a
right.
week or two, they may push back down in there up against that water. And yeah. as the pressure increases through this month,
mm-hmm.
you know, because a lot of folks will be hunting around the edges. They don't dive all the way into that river very much. As the pressure increases around the edges, they may go back in towards that water mm-hmm. To be more comfortable. But that's an interesting thing, you know, and we see that all the time. When you find their bedding area right now, they move very freely during daylight within mm-hmm. the bedding. And this
yeah.
is several hours after daylight that we're talking about
yeah.
here.
Now, and I think another thing that helped us is, like we were talking about, we have really good weather conditions. I think it was only, what was it, Sean, maybe 47 degrees when we got out there this morning. So I think that helps too. I mean, it was cool all the way into the morning, and those bucks were up moving. I mean, there was two bucks in there fighting. I wish I'd have saw the other one too, just to
yeah,
know what it was.
For sure. They love that grass though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the bucks love bedding and stuff like that. I mean, that's kind of what the buck nest is made of. And they weren't in that immediate area when Sean and I hunted the other night. If any of you watched the blog, some other folks have been in there hunting. But we did see a fair amount of sign on the way out that night. We saw boot tracks, but we also saw a lot of buck tracks coming out of there, and I think they may just be bedding in a different section of those fields, but I don't know for sure. It's going to take more scouting, but this is a similar setup. It's a big grass field that's a little bit higher elevation than the river bottom, and there's lots of pin oaks and
yeah.
nasty stuff out in the field. I mean, you'll see the footage on the blog when we post it later, that's the type of stuff that these bucks love this time of year, and they're definitely on the oaks right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're just that's the one conclusion that I think we can start to draw from what we've seen so far,
yeah.
is and that's different than last year.
Oh yeah,
last year there was hardly any acorns at all.
Yeah, last year if there was any, it was red oak, and it didn't seem like it was a big draw to the deer.
No, nope.
This year it's about every, at least in our area, there's just about every oak tree's
they're
dropping
just
acorns.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
And it seems like the bucks are a little more scattered,
mm-hmm.
and they're bedding in there very, very close
yep.
to those oaks. You know, if you've got a giant block of timber with nothing but oaks, there could be, you know, you could find some pretty sporadic sign, you know, where a buck is bedded in off a point of a ridge and wind-based,
mm-hmm.
and he's just walking, you know, 10 feet out of his bed and munching on acorns all day
he
long.
He may be able to eat acorns in his bed.
Yeah.
I mean,
we saw that buck doing that in Missouri a few weeks
yep.
ago, right at last light.
Yep.
He bedded down, and he was actually down there munching on acorns
yep.
in his bed.
Definitely.
He made it 80 yards from his bed, and it was bedded back down again before dark.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how comfortable they are and how tight of an area they can be in. But,
It's really interesting to me that, you know, I think if we wouldn't have walked in that direction, we'd have been out of the game completely. I mean, we were close. We were probably only 250 yards from those bucks, but it was far enough that it just didn't, they weren't going down there, at least not in this situation.
Right. And if anybody's got any questions as we're going here with your situation or where you're planning on hunting tonight, I would assume that there's a fair number of folks that are wanting to go hunting tonight, especially in the Midwest, with these weather conditions that we've got. I think it's going to be an awesome night. It was good last night. It was good this morning. It'll probably be good tonight. And then as the week progresses on, it's going to start to warm up. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have to change our strategy a little bit. But today we've got northwest winds this morning.
Yep.
And they're laying throughout the day.
Yep.
And I think it's going to finish this evening with like a light northeast in our area. But yeah, it's going to be really good conditions for the evening. I'm not real sure where we're going to go just yet, but
one of the things too that like we really focus on when it is temperatures are dropping like this is going to our better areas, like our higher odds spots where we think there are definitely bucks bedding or places that we know bucks are bedding. For example, the buck nest.
Yeah.
I mean, we expected bucks to bed there at least in the
past. Right.
So like we're going into our favorite spots on these colder days, maybe kind of going to our plan B's when it's going to warm up.
Yeah, or new areas even.
Sure.
New areas that we haven't been to much, but you can still kill them on those days. I mean, that buck that we almost killed in Missouri a couple weeks ago, it was warm. It was hot.
75 at
but
least.
But we knew where the bedding was, or at least where we anticipated it to be.
Yep.
And we almost killed him. You know, they do move, even on days that aren't ideal weather-wise. But, yeah, you definitely want to be out hunting tonight, and the oaks are the ticket right now. But don't just set up on acorns or hot sign necessarily.
Right,
You've really got to associate that with the nearest bedding location. But are you thinking you're going to go back to this same spot or not?
Probably a decent chance to go back in that same area. I've actually thought about just switching sides of the ridge. It's a really big piece. It's really hard to access back in there. Probably, I think it's at least 2.5 miles as the crow flies from one access to the other.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about just kind of flipping sides of the main ridge and just getting close to another thicket and maybe coming back to this one later. That buck did get my wind eventually, didn't really know what happened. And there is another one in there, but I don't know how much we messed up, you know, by doing that or in him smelling us. So I don't know. Either the bad thing is it's actually really hard to, these are all pin oaks right on the edge of this.
They're thick and nasty.
So I just don't know how easy you're going to be able to get a good observation stand. You probably, right here, there's a cottonwood that would be a good kill tree. There's a major trail like 20 yards from that cottonwood. It'd be a great kill tree. I just don't know that you're going to be able to see enough to, you know, get a visual on one and call to him.
Well, can you go?
I mean, same thing there. It's all
pin-ups. Yeah, it's all pin-ups. I've walked that right there. It's nasty. There's nothing right in here. Like right in that fence row, there's not a tree?
I never made it right. I
think if you sit there, you
head.
Can see a lot, but a buck is going to go through these pin oaks instead of walking right here on these main trails through the middle of that field.
Yeah.
They'll hug that cover.
There was a big scrape right there.
Right up there?
Yeah, for at least somewhere between right in there.
Right. I'm not surprised.
Lots of bucks on it. But that was the interesting thing, right where that transition line was. There was no buck sign down in here, and when we walked out, the whole way out, there was no buck sign there, but just right now,
all right there. Yeah, that's the thing. That's what we keep coming back to. Right now, they're just, you know, so tight to those bedding areas.
Yep.
And they just haven't started really venturing out. They might have some last night with the cooler weather.
Right.
So you might start seeing in the next day or two more sporadic sign popping up in odder places. You know, once it gets in the middle of the rut, there'll be rubs everywhere and scrapes everywhere, at least in our area.
And last night was definitely probably the best. I don't know. I would say it was the coldest day of the year or of the season.
So far, yeah.
And bucks were up early. Like I said, I saw a 4 or 5 year old buck up at 5:07, I think it was.
Right.
Like who knows how far he made it from his bed yesterday. But I think if you're trying to up your odds as much as possible,
still gotta be
aggressive.
It's like that buck nest last year when you and I were sitting there. I mean, it was 2 hours before dark and Ray was up moving around in there.
But they all
were fighting out there, rubbing and moving. Just that field was crawling with bucks, as a lot of you can remember. But they never moved outside that field. It was like they were just zigging and zagging across there. They were definitely moving with more vigor, you know, because of that weather. But it wasn't like they were moving further away from their beds. They were just moving a little bit earlier. We probably ought to take some questions now. What do you guys got, Brody?
Yeah, similar to what you guys were just doing when you're looking at that map. He's wondering, like, when you look at a big block of timber like that, what features do you look for to determine potential buck bedding?
Ridges and ditches is what I'm assuming he's talking about.
Well, I guess, like, I rolling. Guess whoever asked that question, if you follow that up with what type of big timber, because there's, you know, it could be, if it's flat, then that's
right. Yeah. If it's, yeah, if it's flat timber down south, you know, big pine thickets and stuff, it's much different than if you've got big rolling hardwood timber like you do in, you know, out east and somewhat here in the Midwest.
Yeah.
But we'll answer that, you know, and if this isn't the right answer, you know, be more specific with your response and we can possibly help you. But what we concentrate on in, like, hilly hardwoods is ridges, points, and ditches.
Mm-hmm.
So if you separate it in half, for instance, and you've got a ditch running right down the middle, you know, and then you've got two main ridges on one side of the ditch and the other side of the ditch, then there'll be lots of little secondary ridges that actually go down into the ditch. You want to walk those elevation lines on those secondary ridges,
I think,
and even down into the ditch. Discuss, and I'll pull an example.
I always kind of will explain it to people like this. If this is your ridge, it's running north and south, and you have a wind blowing in this direction, and there's secondary points kind of going off of that, there's a lot of times there's a trail running right along that edge, and, like, a lot of times we'll just go walk that transition. Generally, if our ridge is running north and south, we mostly get west winds here, so we'll look on the east side of the hill, just because a lot of times they're going to want to bed with their wind at their back facing down the hill on hilly terrain. I think that
makes sense, flat, I guess. Pines.
Oh, flat pines.
Flat pines, okay.
A lot different.
That's a lot different.
At least what we saw when we were turkey hunting in Mississippi, I don't know if that, if it's still even close or not, we were still finding the same type of stuff on the transition lines.
Transition is the key there. You know, if you have flat pines, and I noticed Dell was on here also, Dell Kirby, and he's from down south. Dell, you might even offer up some comments here on anything that you're seeing, you know, or if we're wrong in what we're saying here. But
yeah, because
we have looked at a lot of maps from down there, and we spent some time down there scouting, but we're by no means experts, and we want to learn more about it. But if you're in flat pines that have a few little hammocks of hardwoods mixed in throughout, like islands of hardwoods or even draws or whatever.
That's you're looking what we for found an, in yeah. Mississippi was creek bottoms with hardwoods, mixed right, two pines.
Right. Anywhere where you have a transition. If you just have one set solid block of pine and there's no transition in there, you're probably not going to have a lot of deer. Mm-hmm. So anywhere where there's a transition, and then what you want to look for is on the thick side of the transition, they'll be bedded right there, maybe 20, 30 yards in, with wind blowing out of the thick stuff towards those open pines. And that's what you'll notice a lot of the time. They will bed in there deeper as well, but they're going to be in a spot where they've got some kind of wind advantage. If you've got hardwoods that are butting up next to pines, that's going to be, you know, the ticket, especially if you got acorns right now. Then every situation is going to be slightly different, of course, but
yeah, and we are very limited in our knowledge of, I guess, southern.
We're not going to be though. We're going to go down there and hunt and try it here pretty soon, and we'll see what we come up with. We'll probably get our butts kicked, but that'll be fun to try for sure. That's the biggest key though. No matter where you are, that's the one common thing that you always are looking for is a transition.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking for a change in habitat, change in terrain of some sort, where it's breaking up that monotony of that. And that can be, you know, topo as well. Mm-hmm. That can be changes in elevation, where there's a change in elevation from flat pines down into a creek bottom, like Zach said, that transition line right there and that change in elevation, you're going to find most of the sign right along that.
Definitely one of the things that I noticed when we were in Mississippi was every time we'd be walking along that, just as simple as right where the pines, those ridges, the small ridges of pines met up with those creek bottoms, there was always rubs right along that line.
Yeah, I'm going to even go down there quick and pull something up. Brody, be looking at another question. I don't even remember if I can find it on here.
You got any other questions here?
Okay, so His number one buck is hitting a camera over corn 3 times a night, about every 2 to 3 hours. And he's getting one another camera 300 yards away every 4 to 5 days. How far do you think the buck is moving from his bed?
Is he in daylight? Does it say anything about daylight?
He's probably in the general vicinity.
Yeah.
But, you know.
He could also just be going there in the dark and then bedding down and coming back to it.
Yeah.
Night beds are a totally different subject that we could dive into.
Like he may, say for instance, there's a really good bedding area 300 yards from there. He may hang out in that until 10 or 11 o'clock at night and then pick up sticks and move down to a destination food source or something like that. And he may spend the next 4 or 5 hours in there. Mm-hmm. And he may go visit your corn pile and then, like Zach said, walk off 30, 40 yards into a bean field and bed down or come back or whatever. Night bedding is totally different. That's the thing. I mean, you do put a lot of weight on the daylight photos. And you want to, you're getting closer, obviously, to where he's at right now. But if he's only there in dark.
If he's there a lot, then yeah, he probably is even during his daytime beds. He's probably bedding somewhere close. But my guess, based on the situation, and I could be wrong too, is that he's night bedding close to that.
Yeah.
To that bait site.
You're probably at least 200 yards away from mm-hmm. being in the game. Mm-hmm. You know, if he's there at night.
Yep.
That's the biggest thing.
Yep.
Yeah, Sean.
All right. Ryan said, do you guys start to back off buck bedding and start to set up between doe bedding as the rut starts to pick up?
Some, but not all the time. What actually happens in a lot of these areas is where those bucks feel comfortable. And where they've been bedding throughout the month of October, like we saw in the buck nest last year.
There's does in there,
or they'll push does back in there. That's the place where they're most comfortable at.
There was doe tracks in that, around that thing, fresh doe tracks. Like there was a family group of does in there, no doubt.
Yep.
With those two bucks. I mean, they're close by.
Doe bedding, down one side of doe bedding, or even up one side for that matter, because they'll check either side. Say, for instance, on the up one side of doe bedding, if there's a parallel trail there that they can follow, mm-hmm. and that's the way that the does are coming back in or exiting the bedding, they'll scent check that trail.
Yep.
Not just necessarily on the downwind side.
Right.
But, yeah, if you're hunting links, like you find these bedding areas and you're hunting transitions in between the two or funnels in between two bedding areas, those can be good too. But we tend to have more luck in those types of spots in the middle of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Like just hunting 10 to 2 or 3.
Yep.
And then sticking with bedding in the morning and mm-hmm. bedding in the evening, or being very close to the bedding in the morning and the evenings. Mm-hmm. But I want to circle back real quick to his question about pines, flat pines and stuff.
And Dell left a comment too, but go ahead and...
Okay, I want you to read Dell's comment first.
Right, so we don't say anything real stupid.
Yeah, I want to make sure that this is going to align with what Dell says.
So Dell says, southern pines are tough for sure. Deer can bed anywhere, but true what you're saying about looking for your thicker areas that is close to change in topography.
Okay. Well, right here, we're in Mississippi.
Thanks, Dell.
Yeah, thanks, Dell. Appreciate you. We're in Mississippi at a random area that I just grabbed on the map here. And what you've got here is lots of planted pines on either side of this. And you can see there's a little creek that runs down through the middle of it, and there's a hardwood transition right through there. These are all hardwoods, it looks like, in this bottom. And this is the same type of terrain that we turkey hunted down there, so I know that's what it probably is. And there's also like these little food plots up here that they've got planted. There's a little transition right in here, but mainly you're looking at these points and these bowls in this transition right here in these hardwoods. Now the pines right there where it's mixing may be pretty thick, and they may be bedded in the pines, you know, or in the hardwoods is what I've noticed down in Mississippi anyway. But when we were in these situations in Mississippi, these types of areas right there where that kind of comes up mm-hmm. off and forms a bowl, mm-hmm. right around that bowl, there'd be a lot of buck sign.
Yep, and from point to point. That's like when I was talking about walking those transitions, I remember specifically multiple times finding rubs from like point and then a line of rubs to the next point.
Yep. You just have to experiment and see by looking at the beds to see which wind direction that they're bedding on, because that's gonna somewhat differ, you know, depending on topography and everything. But that's where... you know, you're going to want to concentrate on. This would be a good area to start. And that, see, what I'm looking at here is they've got these food plots up in here, right, that are up in these planted pines. You may not be able to see it on the live feed, but those are, shoot, 300 or 400 yards away from the hardwood transition down here. So they may get, you know, the occasional buck in daylight up there. But, yeah, I mean, it's that would be where I would be concentrating on, is right down in here along that. Yeah, 250 yards to those food plots. You know, and if they're the deer are coming from this direction, you know that they're bedding somewhere down close to that transition. But anyway, let's get the next question, Sean. Hopefully that helps some.
Yep. Let's see. So Will said, do you think it's possible that, Zach, for you and I earlier said, do you think it's possibility that a buck bedded in that CRP field just so that he could get up and head to the scrape on the edge of the field in those pin oaks? Said he had a good buck on public last year, mid-October, first cold front, do the same thing. Do you think he was in that area just to go and hit that scrape? Or
no, he's bedded in there.
Yeah, I think that's a scrape that's probably there, at least in this situation, is probably there every year. I remember finding a number of scrapes and rubs on that same transition that I was pointing at when I said we found the scrape going out.
Yeah.
I mean, we were doing interviews in there about all the old rubs and the new rubs on top of them. Some trees had been rubbed before and were rubbed this year. That's an area that bucks bed at least some time of the year, every year, I would say.
Yeah. Yep.
So with Tim still pretty warm in New York, do you think it's still worth pushing in on beds on these mature bucks, are better off waiting on a cold front?
Depends on your situation, too.
Depends on your very specific situation. Really get into detail on here with us, because that's what we continue to preach, is every single individual situation is so much different.
For us, it's always worth going
right,
because we have plenty of land to go.
Yeah, we've got tons of spots, and these bucks have got tons of bedding areas. Like, if we go in there and bump one of them, they're just going to move slightly over to another bedding area, or they may not move at all. And then us or anybody else that's hunting that public land can go in there and hunt them still. Mm-hmm. If you are in New York and you've got a small property that's only, you know, 10, 15, 30 acres, 40 acres, whatever, and you've only got one very good buck bedding area on it, and it's on the edge of your property, and you're going in there and pushing it right now, without optimal conditions, you may accidentally bump the deer or alert the deer, and they may move on to your neighbors, and then you may have a hard time hunting them. Yeah. So we're not necessarily saying to do this in every situation. Every one of them is going to differ slightly. Mm-hmm. If you've got that little area like that, it may serve you well to be less aggressive. But typically, even if you're in that situation, you're just waiting for your time to strike.
Right.
And then you're going straight in.
Yeah, just to put it into
going in for the kill, I guess.
Yeah, my grandpa has a 280 acre blocks back in Ohio, and if I was gonna go back and hunt those, I would wait for the coldest days, and I would go as aggressive as possible.
Right.
But I would only do it on those coldest days, and maybe twice a month, you know.
Same with our little 100 acre farm in Missouri. Yeah.
Too finicky a spot. Like, you don't want to just go in there and blow them out. But in our situation here, where we're hunting tons and tons of public land, we can afford to just go in and be super aggressive every single time.
Yep. Brody, what do you got?
Talking about kind of walking into their stand and stand access. If you are walking through standing corn and your wind is blowing towards the bedding until you're able to get past it, how worried are you about being winded if you have a 75-yard corn buffer?
75-yard? Well, that's a good specific question. Yeah. I'd probably want a little more than that.
Close, but
it may be okay.
Here's something. Yeah, like it's weird too. Today when we were on the ground, the wind was blowing towards that buck. We could hear him in there making rubs after I grunted, and I could hear him in there rubbing, scraping, whatever he was doing. The wind was blowing towards him, but I had a big, thick wall of pin oak branch and a number of other, you know, thick vegetation, you know, that was between me and him, and he couldn't smell us.
I've already watched this footage too, and the thing that I observed with that deer is something that you see all the time with a mature buck or mature doe. A lot of times when they hit your scent, it's not just immediate. Sometimes it is.
Mm-hmm.
They sit there and they try to figure out what's going on. You know, he stood there forever. And you got, I mean, 12 minutes, he stood there in the same spot looking at you. And I think he's trying to figure out what you know, he probably caught a whiff of you, and he's trying to figure out what's going on.
I remember a specific moment when he walked in and he right after he stopped, he did his demeanor changed just for a second. So he must have got some tiny little whiff, and then he literally stood there for like 12 minutes.
Yeah.
And he never even moved until that wind kicked towards him, and then he got out of there.
Right, right. But I guess the point I'm trying to make there is if, in this case, with this question, if you're going by those deer in their beds, go as quick as you can. Mm-hmm. You know, don't stop, because if they smell you, if they catch a hint of your scent, it's probably not going to push them out of there. It may actually get them up moving during daylight a little bit quicker, you know, because those deer may go on slight alert that are in there. But the odds of you bumping them right out of there are probably pretty low. I mean, I heard Dan talking about once how they would do that. They would walk around a bedding area and let their wind go into the bedding area. And then that would actually get the bucks up and moving a little bit sooner during the day. But
when we were wind bumping in Nebraska, was just letting a 15, 20 mile an hour wind blow right towards a buck, and it took him till I was 20 yards away to actually get up. And he never looked at me. He just definitely smelled me, but it was that was after it was saturated in there. But like Aaron's saying, if you just get past them quick, there's probably pretty low odds they're going to really get a good whiff.
Yeah, I try to give yourself more than 75 yards if you can. You know, if a couple hundred yards and you're probably fine. There's no big deal. But, yeah.
So Ryan said, once you guys said you were fooled by rut sign and other sign, can you elaborate?
Yeah. I think that when you're scouting an area in the winter, that's one of the downsides of it is when you scout in season, there's really specific spots where bucks are and they're leaving sign right there.
I think that's the key to early October. Mm-hmm. Because early October, late September, as soon as they shed their velvet, they're going to be laying rubs down. And they're in these little bitty pockets that we keep talking about. They're in these tight little bedding areas, and they don't move very far from there. You know, and as the rut progresses, they start, especially the young 2 and 3 year old bucks that are laying down most of the sign anyway, they are traveling all over the place.
Yeah.
Maybe not the older ones as much, but the 2 and 3 year olds are going everywhere. Mm-hmm. And they're laying down rubs and scrapes all over the woods. And, you know, you can cut that sign in late October and set up on it and not even be close to being in the game.
Yep.
You could be 500 yards from their bedding.
Yeah, and I think that
we're noticing, like, in those oaks, that's where we're seeing these pockets of fresh rubs. And then once we're noticing that sign right now, it's going to change soon. But once we're noticing that type of sign right now, we know that we're getting real close to bedding.
Yep.
He also said, Ryan also said, congrats, Brody, on your...
Yeah, thank you, man. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Another question here. My best spot is a primary scraping location. I've had a lot of daylight / nighttime activity here. Would you recommend hunting the downwind side of the most prominent scrape or hunting within killing distance of the scrape?
Oh, I don't know. I guess I'd probably like to sit over it. You know, I'd like to be within shooting distance, I guess. But, it's all going to depend too. You know, if the scrape's in kind of an open area and just on the downwind side, there's a buffer or something like a thicker little wall of saplings or something that's all rubbed up, then that may be the better way for him to come into that scrape is to hug that cover along the downwind side and then go up into it. So I don't really know.
I'm going to be honest with you, Aaron. I got to thinking about Brody's deer, and I didn't listen to that question at all.
he's asking about scrapes. He's got a primary scrape that he's hunting, and he wants to know if he should set up right on the scrape or the downwind side of the scrape. And I'm...
Probably downwind.
Probably downwind side, but I wouldn't get outside of bow range.
Right, right. No. Keep it. Yeah, be right on that thing.
Yeah. What else you got?
That's all I got for questions right now.
Sean?
Brian said he's heading to a large piece of public land tonight for the first time and looking at a large CRP field that backs up to private land. How aggressive would you guys be for a first sit?
How big? If it's a large CRP field?
Depends, too. Do you know where the Do you have a really good suspicion of where the bucks are betting in there?
Yeah, do you know where the betting is, where the very specific beds are?
Because if
you don't...
First time in, probably not.
First time in, probably not. If you don't, I'd set observation if you can. Mm-hmm. Like, find a good tree along the edge of it somewhere where you got wind advantage and you can see most of that field.
But on the other hand, I think if you do and you have a good, you know, temperature drop like we do here, get on them. Go for it.
I mean, you can kill them out of the observation trees, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like Brody and Jake had happened to them last week. They went and sit observation, and they had a 4 or 5-year-old toad of a buck walk right underneath the stand. You know, so if it's first time in, that may be the best bet. Either way, you're going to learn a lot. By sitting observation or diving in there, you're going to learn a ton. We need to talk about where we're going to go hunting tonight.
Mm-hmm.
What time is it?
1.
We need to be getting our stuff together probably pretty soon. Are you guys want to go back, right back to that same spot, you think?
I think in the same area, maybe.
Yeah?
Whatever you guys come up with.
Yeah, I figured we would try to send 2 groups out tonight on public. But I'm thinking about going back to that same spot that Brody and Jake sat.
I don't think we'd be in pretty good odds areas.
That's the same wind that they had that night when that buck came across the field and he got...
Not to interrupt you, have we checked it to make sure that it's still fluttering to the northeast? Because that could change a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, if it's out of the north, though, it'll be fine.
It'll be in the... Are you thinking about going to the west of where they're like where they saw the other deer stand up from? Are you planning on going up that creek?
Yeah. If there's a slight hint of east in it, then I want to go up the creek.
That's what I would.
Because they noticed a lot of human pressure, you know, from that southeast corner back.
Mm-hmm.
And that buck actually boogered out of there that night. Not bad, but I would assume that there was a ton of deer in there and there was a ton of bucks.
There's another buck in there that when you watch Jake's footage, you didn't get much of it, but there's a big 6-pointer in there.
Yeah, and I know there's plenty of other ones too. We saw a pile of velvet bucks in that area. That are big, so we may be. That's a grass field in a creek bottom, but it does have some pin oak type stuff around the edge of it. It's also got alfalfa out there, not far away. But yeah, what else you got, Sean?
Let's see. So do you guys typically do one and done type sits? You know, when you run and gun. New spot every sit, or something to be said about the surprise attack. So, I mean, one and done?
No. Most of the time, it's actually not one and done. We go in, and we hunt an area, and we learn a ton the very first time we sit there, and then we will make a plan of attack like what we're discussing for tonight. Brody and Jake went and sat that area. We scouted it once earlier in the year. They went and sat observation. They had a big one come in and boogered him. But they also saw a lot of other useful information. They saw a bunch more bucks in that field. So we're going right back there tonight, except we're going to go in for the kill tonight. If we have the right wind, we're going to go way up in there and get really, really tight to some of those beds. And it may work, it may not, but that's kind of the progression that we find ourselves in a lot of the time is you scout first off seasons at some point. Then you go in first time to kind of learn and figure out what's going on. And then you go in again for the kill. But you're always moving. You're never hunting the same exact tree, hardly ever, anyway.
That leads into another question. Briley said he's going to the Midwest for a week-long hunt on public land. How much time would you guys spend scouting versus hunting if you only have a week to get it done, spending tons of time on Google Earth, but nothing like boots on the ground?
Well, if I'm just hunting and I don't have another person with me and a camera, I have no problem just being on the ground still hunting around until I find some areas that I really want to focus on.
Staying on your back,
mm-hmm.
going through and just hunting your way in and picking stuff. Like that would be, yeah, I think we're both going to give the basic same advice here. Go in and stand on your back and pick out a bunch of areas on the maps before you go in and just hit them one by one. Until you find what you're wanting as far as sign. You know, don't pass up good sign, though. If you think it's hot and you believe it to be a potential good area, if you pass it up, it doesn't make sense to go back most of the time because you're leaving scent right there. So
yep.
Keep that in mind.
Yeah, and I think there's a... Yeah, I mean, you got to just use your judgment there, I think, because I think there's some places that if it's hot enough, like, that's where you got to be.
Yeah.
Like, for example, that timber nest last year when we were hunting it in late November, mid to late November, we were in there a lot, but that's where deer were.
Right. And I would also encourage you to scout a lot midday.
Yep.
When you're moving around, don't just be looking for deer sign. Be look hunting, for people too. Sign. Be hunting yeah. at the same time. You know, that goes in. Scouting is a 24-hour thing almost mm-hmm. for us. It's just on maps, you're checking parking areas for fresh tire tracks. If it rains, you're going in looking for fresh boot tracks in an area, not to mention all the deer sign that you're looking for. So, yeah, that's what I would do. Just stay very, very mobile for that week.
So Leroy said, do you fellas need any bro staff?
You got one right here.
Yeah. All right, we got another one. At some point, I dig watching you guys break down a brand new area, then see the results. Fairly new to using maps, more than boots. Like to see how you do it from step one.
From step one? Yeah.
We can, too, once we get start going to new areas. It's hard for us right now. We're, like, a lot of this, I mean, we've looked at everything on a map. We obviously haven't put our boots on the ground and all the public around us, but we sure are trying to.
You could do a blog based on just hop on a map.
Yeah, and we probably will do one. We'll probably do a blog or a podcast or both at some point on that where we just discuss mapping, basically, and nothing else. Because that's the very first step. Once you find the area that you want to target, you go in there and you just mark pins, you know, all over your map on potential spots. I mean, we put PL all over these maps for mm-hmm. possible locations. And then we just go and hit them, mm-hmm. you know, and scout them, usually during the off season. But just getting to know the area is so important. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing is picking it on a map and then taking a good day or as much time as you can to walk the area and figure everything out.
Yeah, just knowing small little details too, just is really, really big deal.
Yep. Map scout hunt.
Leroy, who wants to be on the bro staff, also says he needs some stickers for his Datsun. So
we don't have any stickers right now except for the peanut butter jar labels that we've got. That's about it. But we will have some soon, hopefully.
Yep. Any situation you prefer to use climbing stands to hang on? We pretty much always.
I mean, if you were in where I hunted in college, there weren't anything but straight trees, so yeah. If that's the situation, I'd use a climber. You can get higher
in our area here. It's not feasible in most trees.
Can't get in them.
You know, the setup that we have with the muddy sticks and our stands is the best that we've ran into for our situation. But yeah, climbers are definitely handy depending on the terrain and the habitat that you're hunting in. Anything else before we need to wrap up? We need to start getting into the woods here pretty quick.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to have a very busy blog tonight and tomorrow with Zach's and Sean's encounter this morning and tonight with these perfect conditions. I would anticipate that these bucks are going to be up moving.
And Jordan Ballard made a good point talking to Ryan, who asked about the start to finish process, said that you know, you could look back at some of Aaron's Spring Thunder content for the full process of evaluating a new area, then putting boots on the ground to find them, not deer related, but related to seeing the process of evaluating ground via maps in advance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep. But is there anything else you guys want to add on today's?
No,
good?
Pretty good stuff.
All right. Well, I appreciate everybody joining us. Be sure to come back and check the page later tonight. First thing in the morning, we're going to have our blogs from today up from public land, and it's pretty interesting. So thanks for joining us.
Hopefully we get some tags filled tonight.
Amen. Huh? Let's try it.
Cool. Thanks, everyone.